coming up on Four Down Territory.
I want to be the best at doing it. If I'm going to be doing it, I want to be the best.
After missing the entire preseason, Emmanuel Sanders is eager for the 10 squad to hit the field and take on his new role.
It's dangerous, but at the same time, you just got to be very cautious.
Along the defensive line, Antonio Smith is having fun again as he looks to help fill the void left by Derek Wolfe's suspension.
Is that what they put in the paper?
Yeah.
That's news to me, you know what I'm saying?
And Gary Kubiak makes his Broncos head coaching debut against a familiar opponent.
I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that year, so I'm appreciative of that.
Those topics and more are coming up as we enter Four Down Territory.
Hello and welcome to the very first episode of Four Down Territory. I'm Phil Milani, and each week I'll be joined by Chris Hall and Andrew Mason to break down the previous week's game and also look ahead to the following week's game. This week, it's the first week of the season, and we've seen the Broncos' defense kind of be really, really aggressive during the preseason, but they're going to be without two of their star contributors this first game.
Yeah, we have seen it all preseason, and I think what's going to be a lot of fun for this game is that we're going to see a whole lot more of it. You know, we've only seen the guys go for maybe a quarter, a half. That third game, you saw the starters go. What you did see, though, with Derek Wolfe in there and with T.J. Ward, both won't be in this game, it's just a lot of activity. They talked all offseason about how aggressive they would be.
Put it after that quarterback.
They did, and then add the fact they're going to do it the entire game, seeing what it means when these games count against Joe Flacco. It's all shaping up to be, I think, Andrew, just the perfect test to see where this defense is with this new regime.
Certainly, because you don't want to go too heavy on the attack against the Ravens, because if you do, as we know from seeing them last year in that Gary Kubiak offense, Justin Forsett in that ground game is going to be able to make plays on you. So you've got to be judicious in how you attack this offense. That being said, yeah, obviously it's going to hurt the Broncos being without Wolf and Ward, but at the same time, we look at what the Broncos have done. We've seen the depth of this defense reveal itself with the backups that have rotated in on all three lines of defense over the course of the four games in the preseason. So, frankly, I think the Broncos actually have the personnel to withstand two losses like this as well as any team could in the league.
And look at the next two in line. We're talking about that depth. You're talking about veteran guys, Antonio Smith, Vance Walker, guys I know we talked to on Monday, two guys that can come in and learn this scheme. Of course, Antonio knows it. So he's not talking about someone who's learning something for the first time.
Yeah, that's exactly what Gary Kubiak kind of talked about, a rotation of guys trying to fill that void left by Derek Wolfe.
We're going to play them all. You know, we're going to have a rotation, but we feel like he's come along. He's caught up, and, you know, he and Walk are both going to play a great deal. So I think it's probably more experience than anything going into opening week, but we feel like Antonio's made up a lot of ground.
I definitely feel the cobwebs.
Yeah.
Definitely feel like I was knocking off the cobwebs from being away for so long. You know, I started in that last game, it just started to feel back fun again. That's just how I play. I'm a naturally passionate person. Love playing passionately. So when I'm just playing technically, it's just really not my game. You know, I got to be having fun.
All right. So it looks like Antonio Smith is having fun, and that's kind of how he's kind of a quirky kind of personality guy. Yes. But hey, if he's having fun, maybe that's going to translate out onto the field.
I mean, we saw him get a little frisky when the 49ers were here in town watching O-line versus D-line. He's got that nasty you want up there on the line, whether or not he's starting or coming in or spelling somebody. He's got that nasty you want from a position that really, Andrew, could determine how far this team goes this season.
Certainly, because you know you're going to get pressure from the edge with Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware and Shane Ray and even Shaq Barrett working in there. But if there's a lot of attention given to guys on the outside, you're going to see, you know, one-on-one situations for the guys playing that three-technique defensive end spot. And so they're going to have opportunities to capitalize. Certainly Antonio Smith did a great job on capitalizing on those openings when he was with Houston. That's how he had a Pro Bowl season down there. You know, he worked very well with their good edge rushers, worked very well working opposite J.J. Watt. And I think you could see similar success from him with the guys on the outside and also with Malik Jackson lining up opposite of him. I think that's why when Antonio Smith, he was asked yesterday, where does he see this defense? How good can it be? And can it be better than the ones that Wade Phillips had in Houston? And his response right away was, definitely.
Well, the Broncos will also be without T.J. Ward, and it looks like a few guys might be replacing him back there, including David Bruton.
I believe that Wade's going to put the guys out there who's made plays throughout OTAs, throughout training camp, throughout the preseason. And if you make plays throughout, you know, the season, you're going to get see your reps go. So he's going to put the best 11 guys out there on the field no matter what the situation is.
So it looks like it might be David Bruton back there replacing T.J. Ward, but also a few other guys, right?
Well, it's guys that we knew all offseason who might get a crack back there because aside from Darian Stewart and T.J. Ward, we talk about depth, where they are on the roster. That's one spot where you just don't have the starts that you're used to seeing in other positions. And whether it was Andrew asking Bradley Roby about it or David Bruton, I think at least a couple times a year he knows this opportunity is going to come up where he has to come in and play. Here it is at least in week one, but it's against an offense that obviously the head coach is familiar with, but an offense that's been working together for a while, so he'll be tested.
He'll be tested, but at the same time, that offense is going to have some new wrinkles because Mark Trestman is running it now. He came over from Chicago where he was the head coach, and so it's not going to be exactly what they were doing, even though Trestman has said, yeah, we're going to emphasize the run, and you know, that offense can have a productive running back as we saw with Matt Forte in Chicago the last couple of years, but at the same time, it's not going to be simply about looking at last year's Baltimore tape and saying, okay, they're going to do this. They're going to do some different things. And so in the Broncos' preparation, everyone on that defense, safeties, cornerbacks, the whole unit, has got to watch a little more than just what the Ravens did.
Yep, that's a perfect transition to second down. Guys, it's just like how we were talking about the Broncos are very familiar with the Ravens. They played each other a few times over the last few years, and now even more so with Gary Kubiak being involved in the mix here.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a great storyline, and I think you wrote when the schedule comes out how the schedule just oozes with storylines every week. This one's fantastic. I mean, ask the guys who are still on this roster about that playoff loss a few years ago. It took, and we're in the building here, it took all offseason for everyone to get over it because it stung. You had it won. Then you open up the next season with them. You put a lick on them.
Peyton, we all know how that went.
Yeah. Peyton Manning throws seven scores, and you get that out of the way, and you can move on with the rest of the season. But, hey, you know what? You host them at home. And, Andrew, for the first time, 2 o'clock kick at home on week one for the Broncos in quite a long time. I know you know all the reasoning for that. You could explain it better than I can.
Because CBS no longer airs the U.S. Open tennis tournament, now the Broncos can actually host a day game because – being a Western team, they could only play in the late afternoon window. So that if you're wondering, you know, why is this 2:25 kickoff for week one so rare? It's because the only way the Broncos could have it in week one at home was if they played in primetime, or to have that day kickoff, it would have to be an NFC opponent. And in 2002, it was the Rams who came in here for a day game, a memorable one. The Rams were coming off an NFC championship, and the Broncos turned them back. Clinton Portis had a key run in the fourth quarter. Eddie McCaffrey had a touchdown pass. So it's good to, you know, see the Broncos in week one at home in the daylight again.
This is the only place you can get analysis like that, the breakdown of the U.S. Open right there and how it affects the Broncos.
Does anyone else possibly care about that besides me?
No, we do. You better find that cover for what he's talking about.
Exactly.
You gotta look for that.
Exactly. Well, here are some of the guys talking about facing the Ravens for the week one opener.
Coach Kube and Rico, they got a good familiarity with them, you know, being in Baltimore. And they got a good familiarity with us and what our offense would be like knowing Coach Kube and Rico. So, it'll be a fun game. Exciting.
I had a lot of fun with those guys and built some good friendships. So, and I've played against that team so many times over my career, and I know this team has as well. So, definitely some familiarity on offensively, defensively, and team-wise. So, yeah, it'll be, you know, like some backyard football with the buddies.
So the guys clearly know how important this game is going to be for their head coach. And what do you think of this week's going to be like for head coach Gary Kubiak? He only spent 1 year in Baltimore, but it was an important year for him.
I think it's going to be all business. I think it's going to be a lot like when the 49ers were here. You know they only have 3 practices and a walkthrough on the field to get ready. And then everything we've talked about and heard about all offseason, the expectations of wanting to go to a Super Bowl, and they don't care if it's going to be Peyton Manning ball or Gary Kubiak, but all that is just done because they're going to have an actual opponent, and you got to start stacking wins.
Well, and he already got a taste of this playing the Texans in the preseason because, you know, hey, he went back to Houston,
right,
and it was all business then. Yeah. Mason's probably going to be the same way this week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there'll be a little bit of emotion when he greets guys from Baltimore before and after the game because, you know, I think that one year had a pretty profound impact on him in terms of shaping what his football philosophy is now, because there are some significant ideas from the Ravens and how they develop players, how they bring along players, that the Broncos have incorporated into their philosophy this year. So I think certainly there's a lot of Baltimore DNA in Gary Kubiak, even though he was only there for a year. But like you guys said, it's all business when it counts.
And we had a chance to ask Gary Kubiak exactly what it was that he learned from his one year in Baltimore.
Well, they're a great organization, you know, from the top down. The ownership, obviously, he's a great guy. Ozzie Newsome, having a chance to be around him, and then John Harbaugh is one of the more successful coaches in the business. So I think any time you're in any business, regardless of what it is, when you're around people that have been successful, you know, you get a chance to draw from that. And so, you know, I feel very fortunate to have a great year there, and I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that year, so I'm appreciative of that.
Okay, moving on to third down, and something that we're going to see for the first time this week is Emmanuel Sanders at punt return. He's moved to the number one spot there on the depth chart, and it's something that he hasn't done regularly since college.
I mean, go back to the start of camp, whether it was the kicker, the punter, the specialist, the returners. We have talked more about special teams, I think, leading up to this week one than we have in the last 4 or 5 years, certainly since Peyton Manning's been in Denver. We saw how the other two positions shook themselves out, and the team has said collectively, look, we're going to take one of our star players, a veteran in this league, who we know is going to not put us in a bad spot. He's just going to go do punt return for us.
And really, if you look at the emphasis on special teams, even going back to that first day of voluntary veteran minicamp before the draft.
That's right, Joe
and
D.
We all go out there to watch practice, and they spend 20 minutes, the whole team does, on special teams drills. That really sent a message publicly, and I think also to the team, at how important the third phase was going to be this year. And so you're going to take that phase seriously. You want the best guys out there. And, you know, they gave Omar Bolden a look on punt returns. It's not something he really has done on even a semi-regular basis, going back to even Arizona State. But Sanders has the experience in college. He has done some of it in the pros on an infrequent basis. He talked Monday about how when he was in Pittsburgh, he would work with Antonio Brown on punt returns. And certainly Pittsburgh is an example of a team that is unafraid to use its top skill position guys on special teams. And the Broncos, you know, are simply kind of following that philosophy. And I think part of it also, this offense is going to be a bit different. Maybe Emmanuel's not going to have as many targets as he did last year when he had 101 receptions. So how do you get him the ball? He's one of your most explosive guys. How do you get him opportunities to keep making explosive plays? If he's going to have fewer receptions, then maybe the way to do it is get him the ball on punt returns.
Yeah, and he, the other day, Monday, like Mace said, he was talking about it. What's important to him on fourth down and for turning punts? He talked about just that.
First of all, you got to catch the ball. And second of all, you got to understand that you're playing offense. So the goal is to catch the football and try to get as many yards as you can and don't turn the football over. Get an offensive opportunity to go down and score. And you base it off field position also. And you gotta be able to read the ball. You gotta do you just gotta be smart about how you go about it. But I know myself, the more and more comfortable I get with it, I'm gonna be trying to score. So I wanna be the best at doing it. If I'm gonna be doing it, I wanna be the best.
A nice smooth transition there from punt return to our fourth down. And for that, we're going to punt it over to Scott Ward in the social media department.
Thanks, Phil. Social media question of the week comes from Trevor Anderson. He is @_TrevorAnderson. And he wonders, how soon does Cody Latimer become a legitimate top target in this Broncos offense?
Thank you very much, Trevor. What a great question there. And if you noticed that Chris Hall got out of here, that's because he doesn't care about fourth down, quite frankly. And now we're replaced with Ben Swanson.
Chris Hall is punting on fourth down.
He punted on fourth down. He's afraid to go for it there. But a great question there from Trevor Mace. He wants to know, what is Cody Latimer's situation right now? Is he a legitimate target right now, or does he still have some room to go?
He's got room to grow. He can be a legitimate target, but it's a question of opportunities now that you have Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders healthy, and you have Owen Daniels, who's a big part of the offense, and I think we're going to see a lot of two tight end packages early in the season.
I just don't know how many opportunities Cody Latimer's going to get that's going to push him up to being, you know, that legitimate type of target. I think the on-field reps are going to lag unless Thomas or Sanders gets hurt at some point.
Well, Swanee, we know that Kubiak likes to use two tight ends, but Latimer worked really hard this offseason. What did you see from him through training camp in the preseason?
Well, I just talked to wide receivers coach Tyke Tolbert the other day, and I asked him about Latimer's preparation and if he's better prepared for what's expected from an NFL receiver at this stage in his career and is going into his second season. And he said he has seen it. He's seen Latimer kind of take notes on seeing the preparation that Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders have put in. So I think with that, he's better prepared for the season, but unless we see maybe three wide receiver sets, maybe with Emmanuel as that kind of slot receiver and he kind of is the bigger guy on the outside, that's probably the situation where he's poised to make the biggest impact. So that will probably be in kind of more in tighter situations, maybe two-minute drills, kind of things like that.
Well, part of the problem is that the Broncos just have so much depth there at wide receiver because after, you know, Demaryius and Emmanuel, we're talking about guys like Jordan Norwood, who made the team this year, Benny Fowler, and never forget about Andre Caldwell.
Yeah, and Caldwell, of course, had a strong preseason with two long touchdown receptions from Brock Osweiler. You know, Norwood flashed in the slot, especially in that third game against San Francisco, and Benny Fowler, whether it was on the practice field or in the preseason games, just kept finding a way to make plays and does a wonderful job adjusting the football in mid-flight. So, you know, if Latimer's going to earn reps in the regular season, he's got some pretty stiff competition there.
Yeah, definitely. And something we heard from head coach Gary Kubiak was that he was asked, hey, is Latimer the third target? And he said, hey, we're going to play a lot of guys there. But, Swanee, do you think that maybe he is that third target?
Well, I certainly think they expect him to step up and take that upon himself to be ready for that. If they don't want to use Emmanuel as that slot guy and they choose a guy like Andre Caldwell or a guy like Jordan Norwood, who has taken a lot of steps to put himself there, watching a lot of film of Wes Welker. But I do think that they expect him to be the third wide receiver. That's why they took him in the second round a year ago. So it's really on him to kind of push him.
And the other thing to consider is that special teams roles are really going to help decide which of the receivers are on the active 46 on game day. And that's why it was, you know, not relative to Latimer, but it was interesting that Jordan Norwood was taken off the depth chart on punt returns, and he's not listed there anymore. So you wonder if that might affect his status for being on the game day 46 on Sunday.
Yep, thank you very much, guys. Definitely a good question there from Trevor. And the hard part about week one is, hey, it's the first game, so we're not exactly sure what we'll see. But hopefully the four down territory, the first episode here, will get you a little bit better prepared for what to expect when the Broncos and Ravens kick off this Sunday.